Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, let's get it going right here, right now. This is Diamond Conversations, and you're listening to episode lucky number 13 of Diamond Conversations here on the Place to Be podcasting network. If you didn't know by now, my name is Chad, and every single week we sit down to have a diamond conversation with somebody about the world of baseball, the game of baseball, the game we love, the national pastime, all the time here on Diamond Conversations. And this week, a very special conversation with Perry Giannis, who is the founder of Expos Fest. Expos Fest takes place on March 22nd, 2020. You can go to exposfest.com for all the ticket information and to find out where it is, when it's going on, and who's going to be there, as Expos Fest brings together a collection of some of Montreal's greatest baseball stars for a very special cause. And we are going to get into that today on Diamond Conversations with Perry as he discusses the absolutely heartbreaking story of his young niece who passed away a few years ago that absolutely devastated his family. And I cannot stress enough how sad the story is, but also how inspiring it is to hear what Perry has put together in honor of his late niece and to honor his family in such a way by bringing something that he loves, like the Montreal Expos, to a stage where they can raise some money for awareness, and they can also share it with the world, the baseball history of Montreal and the love that the Montreal fans and the Montreal baseball people had for the Expos. Perry is a lifelong Montreal Expos fan. He's an absolutely amazing collector, has one of the greatest Montreal Expos collections, probably the most unique collection in the world. Talking game-used memorabilia, talking uniforms, talking trophies, awards, things of that nature that have been something that I guess are Cooperstown worthy. And I know he actually has donated some of his items to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. But having a little bit of his own Hall of Fame up there in Canada and doing his due diligence to keep the dream alive, the baseball in Montreal dream. Maybe it comes back. Maybe they'll be back soon. But as far as Perry is concerned, right now it's all about the Expos Fest. Again, it's exposfest.com. It's at Expos Fest on Twitter. And you'll get to hear the just the absolute heartbreaking story of his niece. And the inspiring part is what he's doing now to help raise funds and raise awareness for such a heartbreaking, such a debilitating disease that hopefully one day they find a cure for. And if it starts right here with the funds raised by Expos Fest, then that's a hell of a start, without a doubt. So stay tuned for all the information. Stay tuned for everything going on here in the world of Diamond Conversations. If you want to reach out and touch us, it's at Chad ENB on Twitter, or it's at Diamond Convo. And if you're on Facebook, it's Diamond Conversations Baseball Podcast. If you want to follow along with us in real time, get some of the links, get some of the additional information that may come along, always be ready, always be in touch and in tune with the world of Diamond Conversations. So that's enough out of me. Let's wrap it up here nice. Let's get it on over to the interview with Perry G, and we will see you on the flip side with another Diamond Conversation. On the line tonight for a very special Diamond Conversation is the man behind the great Expos Fest event happening on March 22nd, 2020 in the Great North, all the way up there in Montreal, Canada. I am very, very proud to welcome in here tonight for, like I said, a very special Diamond Conversation, the founder of Expos Fest, Perry Giannis, joining me today. Perry, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this Expos Fest event and talk about what the actual premise is behind it. It's supporting a great cause, and I would love for you to share with the listeners of Diamond Conversation what that is all about.
Well, Expos Fest started in 2016, and it happened as a fundraiser because we lost my niece to a brain tumor called DIPG, which has affects generally young children only, and it took her life when she was before she reached 6 years old. So Catherine Demis passed away at 5 years old, and it was from a DIPG brain tumor. And we found it unacceptable that, you know, that the doctors basically told us that she's going to have less than a year to live and there's absolutely nothing to do. And but true to their word, that's what it was. And unfortunately, my niece passed in the summer of in 2015. And then we decided that her death was not going to be in vain, and we're going to do something about it. And I promised my sister-in-law that I was going to make her into the superstar that she was. And in 2016, we started Expos Fest as a fundraiser because I love the Expos, and I don't know a heck of a lot more in my life than the Montreal Expos and my family. So I'm a huge memorabilia collector of the Montreal Expos. So I knew a couple of the players and called in a couple of favors, and two became four, four became 12. And you know what? We're starting year five of Expos Fest, and we've raised over $620,000 for research into DIPG brain tumors at the Montreal Children's Hospital. So we're very proud of that.
Well, congratulations, number one. That is unbelievably just a great response. And bringing baseball and your family together as the two loves of your life. I mean, it's one thing about baseball. All the important things happen at home. And that's actually a long time baseball quote. All the great things happen at home. And to hear the story and to read about it and to now hear you tell it and hear the emotion with you telling it, it's a great, great, great thing you're doing. And I commend you guys for it. And,
thank you.
You know, it's a great event. And like I kind of told you before we got rolling here on the air, you know, even though I'm a New York Mets fan, I talk about that basically on every show. I always had a little bit of that soft spot for the Montreal Expos, and it might stem from my love of my favorite player of all time, Gary Carter. But even though we kind of ran neck and neck with the Expos for a long time, there was something about that franchise that I found so interesting and so compelling. So talk to us about what the Montreal Expos meant to Montreal and kind of what it has meant to you personally.
Well, I was one of those, well, not rare kids, but I was one of those kids that, you know, my first love was baseball. I played in a baseball league. I never, to this day, I barely know how to skate. So I grew up playing baseball, and I went to some games with my dad at the Olympic Stadium. I went to only one game at Jarry Park. And, you know, it was just falling in love. I was a young kid in love with baseball during like the romantic period of the Montreal Expos, where we had Ellis Valentine, we had Gary Carter, we had Steve Rogers, we had Tim Raines, we had Larry Parrish. We had so many great names, and, you know, it was easy to fall in love with that team. And, you know, every year it was just the same story. We're, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s, we were there, but for some reason, snake bitten Expos, something always, you know, if it could go wrong, it usually did go wrong. You know, like in 1979, we took the Pirates down to the last weekend with the We Are Family Pittsburgh Pirates, and they won the division, and who ended up winning the World Series was the Pirates. In 1980, we took the Phillies to the last weekend. We lost the division. Who won the World Series? Well, it was the Philadelphia Phillies. And then in 81, that Jazz with Blue Monday, and we lost to the Dodgers in the NLCS. And who won the World Series? Of course, it was the LA Dodgers. So it was just the Montreal Expos in the 70s and 80s, you know, like, you know, and then things just went awry with, you know, with a lineup with Carter, Al Oliver, Andre Dawson, Tim Raines. It just, you know, it just didn't make sense, but it happened. We never won.
But there were so many good teams, you know, mixed in there. And for some of the bad years, and right before they left and they went down to Washington, right before that last season, there were some bad years again. But there's something about investing yourself in a team and investing yourself in the characters. And I always say about a Met fan isn't identifiable by the team's best players. They're identifiable by the fringe guys that they fall in love with and that they follow their careers and they become so identifiable with the fan base. So who's kind of the first guy you took to as a Montreal Expo fan?
Well, I think my first ever autograph as a kid was Ellis Valentine, and I really, you know, loved the EV. You know, he was just, you know, he had that, to this day, probably one of the strongest arms in the history of baseball. You know, he could throw you out from the wall at the Olympic Stadium, you know. So I really loved Ellis Valentine. His career was cut short, but he could have been such an amazing player if he just was able to, you know, to put everything together for in his life and stuff like that. But like I said, it was just a great period when you're growing up surrounded by those kind of players. You know, it was easy to be a fan. You know, like a lot of people will just remember the Expos for the Expos of the year 2000. You know, 2000, 2004. Oh, you guys deserve to lose your team. You had 4,000 people in the stands. You know what? And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. No fan base would have put up and would have supported what the Montreal Expos had to go through. No fan base outside of Boston, New York, Chicago, St. Louis, you know, and maybe the L.A. Dodgers. Other than that, every city would have fallen prey to losing their team with all the crap that we put up with. As soon as you became a star in Montreal, out you go. We weren't keeping you anymore, you know. Like, you know, the best example probably was 1997, Pedro Martinez. You know, that was the last. That was the last straw for Expos fans. You know, he had the best year of any pitcher in the history of our team. His 1.8 or whatever it was ERA. He won the Cy Young, 19 games. Hey, Pedro, thanks. Off you go to Boston in return for Carl Pavano and a player to be named later. What? Come on, man. Give us a break.
And all he did was have a Hall of Fame career after that. So there you
go. That's it, exactly. You know, and then we watch him go in as a Hall of Fame Boston Red Sox. But you know what? Look, we just got Larry Walker into the Hall of Fame. Yes, he's going in as a Rocky. But you know what? We made, you know, Larry Walker's career. We raised that young man. We made Pedro Martinez into a Hall of Fame pitcher. Vladdy, you know, for all intents and purposes, we had a team. He would have went in as an Expo.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Carter, Dawson, Raines. Look at what we've done, you know. Like, it's incredible. In just, what, the 35 years, we were able to churn out all these Hall of Fame players. We were an incredible franchise. But like I said, it was just, look, 1994. It was the same thing. You know, a lot of people say 94 killed the Expos. It wasn't even that. It was 95. When they all came back, when spring training, and I still remember when they stuck a microphone into Felipe, and I've said this story a million times, they stuck a microphone into Felipe's mouth and say, Felipe, how are you feeling about the 95 team after such a successful 94 team? Oh, you know what? Besides losing my starting center fielder and Marquise Grissom, my starting right fielder, Larry Walker, my number one reliever, Ken Hill, and my number one closer, John Wetland, I'm feeling pretty good. that basically tells the tale, you know?
Hey, and, you know, they weren't bad in 96, but it was just coming back in 95 that they had the win taken out of their sails big time.
Yeah, big time, yeah. And you know what? In 92, you know, you saw the promise of what was going to happen, and attendance started going up. Things were looking great. Grissom, Walker, Delino we had, but we traded for Pedro. We had a great, you know, starting core, Jeff Acero, great lefty, you know, so everything was just, you know, coming into its own. And then the strike, and then the fire sale, and then after that, we said, you know what, this is enough, you know, like, how much more are we going to take?
It's it's so compelling. And MLB Network has had a couple great specials about the Expos. If people listening to it want to kind of educate themselves a little bit more visually, you can see that 94 team and the construction and the deconstruction of that team in great detail in the special that they had. But hey, also don't forget about that 92 team. They brought back the kids, so it wasn't all for naught.
no, absolutely not. That was like that was the beginning. Like I said, that was when you first started to feel that, oh my God, we have something, we're onto something, you know?
And that's a cool story too, that he would come back to the team as they were back on the rise after he left in such a way that, you know, again, it was he had to go because there was some brutal contract talks going on. He had to go. But also from the Hall of Fame perspective, and Larry Walker now, you know, another bread expo. You got your Randy Johnsons of the world, now Larry Walker. Gary Carter always said his big thing was that he was going to be the first expo in the Hall of Fame, and to see the expos that have gone in since, to me, is remarkable, because you see other successful teams that don't have any representation or very little, and now here the expos are marching in another, you know, all-time great player.
Yeah, that's it. That's the irony of that. Look, the Angels got Vladdy, their first ever Hall of Famer, and now Larry's going in with the Rockies, their first ever Hall of Famer. You know, they just hope both just so happen to come from our organization. You know, we build them up from pups, you know, so, you know, we have a lot to be proud of in Montreal. Montreal baseball is a rich, rich history. It doesn't go away. We're just waiting. Like our friends at Expos Nation say, you know, we're not dead. We're just on a hiatus, you know, we're just taking a little break, you know, so when we come back, it'll be that much, you know, it's not a coincidence. Major League Baseball is not what it used to be, because you know what, the Expos aren't around anymore. When we come back, you know, we're going to make the MLB great again.
That's great. Well, speaking of history, you are a very big Montreal Expos collector, perhaps the biggest. And I will give you that distinction. I read the article that is out there about your collection, and just seeing the visuals is like a salivating moment. So kind of talk about your how your collection got started, maybe, you know, maybe some highlighted pieces, but give us a little bit of your history there as a just absolute museum of Montreal Expos history.
Nobody's crazy enough to collect Montreal Expos stuff, so it's easy to be number one, you know, so it's kind of easy. But I think really, like, you know, I used to collect pieces here and there, you know, go auctions and you know, on whatever, like Kijiji, which is our version of Craigslist or something like that. You know, you go around and you collect stuff. But really, when I really flipped the switch and I really started collecting like a madman was basically between 2000, 2004, because, you know, that's when I knew that we were losing the team. So I was going to have nowhere to go. I was going to have no team to follow. I never followed another team. When people ask me when I'm in a stadium, whether I'm at the watching the Mets or if I'm in wherever in Toronto watching the Jays, you know, people ask me, well, who do you follow now? I go, I don't follow anybody. Who's your team? I go, my team's the Montreal Expos. You know, I don't, I never latched on to anybody else. You know, it's just the way it is, you know. So when I really started going nuts, though, probably between 2000 and 2004, because I saw the writing on the wall, and I said, you know what, at least let me collect whatever I can, and I can admire it when I walk into my house and stuff like that, and at least remember what it was, you know, because memorabilia is a special thing, just like music is, you know. When you listen to a song, or when you see a piece of Montreal Expos history, it brings you back to a time and a place, you know. Where were you that summer, you know? I was 16 years old, I was watching, you know, The Kid, or I was whatever. And that's the special thing about memorabilia. And pieces, you know, it's like, you know, when people ask you, who's your favorite child, you know? There's so many different pieces that I love, but probably my number one collector is I collect Gary Carter, you know.
Man.
not as a Met. Once he left the Expos, my collecting stops over there. So, you know, I have his 1983 gold glove. I have his last jersey that he wore on that fateful night when he doubled over Andre Dawson's head when they beat the Cubs.
Yeah.
So that was his last at-bat. That was his last base hit. His last RBI, so that's really special to me. So I guess it's my Gary Carter stuff. But you know what, because my son loved Guerrero, I was fortunate enough to actually see baseball games with my kids, because I had kids at a young age. So my oldest son loved Vlad Guerrero, so he's probably number two behind in my collection list. So it's Carter and Vladimir Guerrero.
I fixated on the Carter picture that's in that article about your collection and zoomed in greatly to kind of inspect it, you know, and I diversify with my Carter collection because I do have a couple, just, you know, I don't have any game use stuff, I don't have any legacy items, but I have something of him as a Giant and a Dodger and of course the Expos and of course the Mets, because I just, the career of the kid was just something growing up. I mean, I took to him as a player, I took to him at reading his biography. I just took to watching him and seeing the gamer that he was and battling back there and fighting back there. But looking at your little shadow box there, your case, it's unbelievable to see the jersey and the helmet and the glove. But there's one ball in particular that was up in the corner. Now, is that a ball that Ted Williams signed to Gary that you have? So tell me about that one.
Well, Sandy Carter, Gary's widow, sold basically his entire collection in 2016. And I was, you know, I was on top. I was all over that. And one of the pieces that I saw, and it actually didn't go for such a bad price. Like back then, it was a pretty decent deal. And, you know, when you're getting, you know, Ted Williams to Gary Carter, signed baseball saying that he's a great catcher, you know, like, oh my God, you know, I had to have that ball. That's incredible. Anything Ted Williams signs, you know, and he dedicated the ball to Gary Carter. And the funny thing about the kid, another thing I loved about him, he was a huge collector. He collected everything. He kept everything from his career, his home run balls, his home run bats, his jerseys. He was a big card collector. So, you know, I understand why Sandy had to get rid of this stuff. God knows, she had to, you know, moving out of a house, where are you going to bring the rest of all his collection? So, you know, it made a lot of people happy, and I was one of those people. So, that Ted Williams to Gary Carter signed ball is pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, look, we could talk about everything all day, and, you know, I'm going to link this article into our social media post just because I want people to see some of it, because there's so much. But before we kind of get into the wrap-up here and talk about Expos Fest again, I got to ask about the Yuppie. So is that like a legit Yuppie costume here? Are you parading around the house as Yuppie when there's nobody looking?
Are you insulting me? Of course it's an original Yuppie. One of the last Yuppies, I think this was worn between 2002 and 2004. So, no, I don't. I've been warned not to get into the costume for fear of the Montreal Canadiens. So I just have them hanging around the house. And again, that's like another cornerstone piece, right? Like Yuppie is, when you talk about mascots, you know, like you're only talking about three. You're talking about the Philly Fanatic, the San Diego Chicken, and Yuppie. And no, we're not talking about Mr. Mep. We're talking about Yuppie, the Philly Fanatic, and the San Diego Chicken. Those are the top three mascots, I think, in the history of mascots. So, you know, having that Yuppie is pretty cool. And I never dress up in them. Sorry.
I'd hate to sleepwalk around your house because I wouldn't want to turn that corner and then go face to face with Yuppie. Yeah, exactly. No, it's that's so awesome. Again, I've always had such an affinity for the Expos and a little bit of a nice little. I wear my Expos hat, recording some of my interviews. I got just the classic the white front with the blue brim. It's a wonderful, wonderful hat. It's a great team with a lot of history, and we're gonna bring it back here to Expos Fest because it's, like I said at the beginning of the interview, it's March 22nd at the Embassy Plaza. It's exposfest.com for the rest of the information, but just listen to some of these names of who's going to be there. Tim Raines, Jeff Reardon, Cliff Floyd, Jeff Fusaro, Bartolo Colon, Rudy May, Javi Vasquez, Rondell White. I mean, just you talk about history, you talk about some of those names. Tell us a little bit more about this Expos Fest event and where people can donate to the fund for your niece and just kind of help spread the word if they can about just the wonderful cause that you've created.
So you ran down all the names. It's March 22nd, and we have an autograph session from 3:30 to 5:30 where people could get an autograph each from each player. And then we have a four-course dinner from 6 to 10 where we have, you know, we're introducing the players. We're doing silent auctions. We have live auctions. We have a live performance from an amazing artist named Rosa. It's just like, you know, it's a great time for Expos fans to get together. And the players that come back and help us fundraise are very special to us. And we've had basically just about everybody. You know, we're working down our line to every Expo, whoever, you know, made his mark in baseball. And we have a boutique on our website where you can buy Expos memorabilia, exposfest.com. There's a link there where you can make a straight donation for my niece and the IPG research at the Montreal Children's Hospital, because we vowed, you know, when we first started this adventure, we said we were going to raise $300,000. We did it. Then we said, well, gee whiz, this wasn't that hard. We're going to do $500,000. We did it. And then this past summer, we pledged to raise $1 million. And we're hoping to get that done by next year. We're at $620,000. So I think, you know, in a couple of years, we'll get it done. And there's nothing more rewarding. And there is no reason why any child any parent should have to be told that their child is going to die because of any illness, especially brain tumors, which is the number one killer. It's past leukemia now as the number one killer among children, you know. So my niece is going to save lives. My family is going to help save lives. And you know, that's what we're all about.
It's wonderful. And again, I appreciate you sharing that story. I appreciate you having this set up, not only to honor the memory of your niece and your just honoring your family, but also to keep the absolute legacy alive of a wonderful franchise, and somebody, the people that love this team can live through it with you one more time. And it's at Expos Fest on Twitter, ExposFest.com, again, the website. And before I let you go, give me your all-time number one Montreal Expos moment. Go. Floor is yours.
I guess it would have to be the All-Star Game, man. When we hosted the All-Star Game in 82, to go to batting practice before and see all the All-Stars, I was 15 years old, you know. So I think that was my, like, all-time memory, you know, go there with my friends. And it was just a great day. I think that was the proudest moment in Expo's history, that we hosted the All-Star Game. The first time the All-Star Game was ever played away from the United States, you know, out of the United States. So it was a great, great, great weekend, a great, you know, history-making All-Star Game. And I think that was it, just hanging around there, watching BP, going to the game, and just being proud that Montreal was hosting that game. I think that was one of my greatest memories as an Expo fan.
That's awesome. And I thought you might go with Daryl Strawberry hitting a home run off the roof of Olympic Stadium. I thought you would have gone with that one.
No, that was the farthest from my mind.
I love his trot after he rounds the bag when they called it a home run. It's I wouldn't even call it a trot. It's more of a gingerly walk around the bases.
Lovely, lovely, yes.
All right, Perry. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to talking about Expos Fest more.
Thank you so much.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.